Who was this man? What was he? Others looked at radio and saw a gadget.
Walter M. Sterling
looked at radio and saw a household possession capable of enriching the lives of millions.
Join the Walter M. Sterling Club.
Sterling and Knight weather from Boston to La Jolla. This is Dr. Dave. The Northeast and New England are plagued by freezing rain tonight through parts of Pennsylvania and New York, New Hampshire, Vermont, Connecticut, and Massachusetts. The good news is all of this moves out to sea later tonight. And tomorrow morning, dawn is followed by bright sunshine. A polar express is on its way. Some of the coldest air so far this season is headed our way and will hit by Tuesday morning. We're looking for 14 below in Caribou, Maine, 7 below in Burlington, Vermont, 0 in Albany, 1 below at Lobster Radio in Portland, Maine, 3 degrees in Buffalo, 14 degrees in New York, and 18 degrees in Philly. And then the lake effect snow machine gets into high gear with bitter cold air pouring out of Canada across the unfrozen Great Lakes. Look for feet of snow in the upper peninsula of Michigan, Buffalo, Oswego, and Syracuse. And then we'll get some warming. More weather later this hour. This is Dr. Dave Iser, staff meteorologist for Sterling at Night. Next weather at 6 and 36 past every hour, only on Sterling at Night.
Welcome to the old-fashioned talk show. I'm Brad, and we welcome your comments. Please turn off your radio if you call, and only one call per listener every 30 days. And keep up to date with all technology. Has the dial phone arrived in your home yet? Here's an update from our friends at Bell Labs.
When the signal is given, the fuses are pulled out of the lines that were part of your manual equipment.
Crazy! What next? Telephone satellites?
The satellite is rising over the horizon.
We have a detected signal. The command tracker has acquired. Roger, the telemetry just went into lock.
Bullseye. Andover is dead on target. Having found it, now can we talk to it? AT&T Vice President Joe Cook at Andover is master of ceremonies for a television broadcast with the whole world watching.
That's crazy, talking without wires. I'm Brad. Coming up, we'll talk about government forcing us to use fluoride toothpaste and our forced busing issues ruining our schools and dress codes. Why should women be allowed to wear pants? Now we have to pay some bills. Network news on the hour is next after some long instrumental and then dead air.
I've been given this world from giant sand crabs.
The giant sand crabs will appear soon, but how could you, a theater kid with a 28-inch waist, save us all from giant sand crabs?
I can put my hand in the box of pain.
This isn't about Kardashians.
I've also kissed a psycho, allegedly who wanted to actually eat me. Not in a funny way. Call me by your name? Those were pronoun challenges. So I can easily stop giant sand crabs.
When you sleep, Paul, what do you see?
I see Kristen Stewart marrying a hot blonde. She made the blonde get on one knee and beg for her hand in marriage. A vision. Let me check their wedding registry.
Wait, aren't you going to save our planet?
It's so interesting. It's so interesting how our culture has moved. And now we have movies about giant sand crabs being stopped by Timothy Chardonnay. How is Timothy Chardonnay going to stop a giant sand crab? I don't know. Now, about this COVID-19 stuff. A week ago, I had COVID-19. I tested positive for it. I still have COVID-19, but it doesn't matter because I'm in a laundry room. Everybody's safe. But can COVID-19 be transmitted over the airwaves of radio? In the early days of radio, there were a tremendous amount of experiments to prove that radio waves could communicate voices of the dead. So many of our radio shows today sound as though they are being performed by voices of the dead that you gotta wonder. But there was a real belief that if quiet enough on the right frequency, you'd be able to hear voices of the dead on your radio. And made me think, well, maybe if I have a disease and I'm speaking on the radio and it's modulating these airwaves, that it could be modulating these airwaves with disease. Is that possible? Think about all the sick things you've heard on the radio. It's possible. And then I have another popular theory. All mine, mind you. I don't think for one second that a bat started COVID-19. Don't think it for a second. Little, if any, evidence that a bat is capable of transmitting the disease to humans or animals. Consider this. You've seen enough science fiction movies to consider this. That China engineered and created this disease for whatever reason. And they knew it would fly around the world and cripple populations, kill millions. And then when we were really sick of it, when we really didn't want to deal with it anymore, China would announce, we have the antidote. Now we're going to tell you what we want for the antidote. There's the ultimate scenario in horror. One country creates a disease and has the antidote. That's the ultimate horror. There are three horrors this week. Elizabeth Holmes, Jezleen Maxwell, and she's a horror because I have no idea how to pronounce her name, and neither do you. And you may wonder, well, that's way off topic for you, Walter. You usually just talk about lesbianism, and it's true. But when you're stuck in bed for many days, your mind starts to wander onto other things. I, however, believe quite strongly that Elizabeth Holmes was screwed. She's the one who created the Merlin box that could take one drop of your blood and in a few minutes do a full analysis of your blood and tell you everything that's wrong with you. Why one drop of blood is a better deal than a whole vial, I don't know. I don't know what the big deal was of a vial. I really don't. But she seemed to think it was a huge deal and that the world would flock to her Edison machine if you only had to give a drop. To me, a drop's just as scary as a vial. Might as well take a vial, to be sure. You and I will talk about that in just seconds. My phone number is 888-688-9258. 888-688-WALT. 888-688-WALT. It's 14 past the hour. This is Sterling on Sunday. You gave everybody the gifts they wanted. Did you get the gifts you wanted? Probably not. The way you get the gift you want is you go to MyPillow.com. MyPillow.com, you will not believe the variety of gifts that are available at MyPillow.com. For example, they have bed sheets made of Giza cotton. The biggest problem with fitted bed sheets is I don't know whose bed they're fitted for. Maybe some little French guy or something, but whenever I try to put on fitted bed sheets, it's a nightmare. It's a fight. I need three people to do it with me. Not so with MyPillow brand bed sheets made of Giza cotton. And then the crowning glory on your bed is the MyPillow brand pillow. It's filled with patented material. It holds its shape, it stays cool all night, and it's made in the United States of America. Please go to MyPillow.com. When you go there and you click on the pillow, you want to buy the pillow, you go to checkout, you put in my name, Walter, and the result will be a drop in price from $69.99 to $19.99, a $50 savings, 50. That means that for $80, you can get four pillows and have four pillows on your bed for the first time in your life. Wouldn't that be fantastic? MyPillow.com. The best way to reach MyPillow is at 800-844-0876.
That's their phone number. Believe it or not, they have somebody there right now on this night and this day and this hour to talk to you, Sterling, on Sunday, listener. 800-844-0876. Call them and talk. Just talk. 800-844-0876.
For the best night's sleep in the whole wide world, visit MyPillow.com.
New year means a new point of view on fruitcakes. You and I think of fruitcakes as something less than appealing, almost a joke gift, not fair. The actual idea of a fruitcake is a cake made with a spongy, fresh, beautiful filling. And then the fruit look like they've just been plucked off a vine and taste fresh. That's what you're going to find at, here's the website, Leaflet Online, L-E-A-F-L-E-T, Leaflet. Online.com. These are monastery treats. They're from a monastery. Beautiful gifts, but the best one to take a look at is the fruitcake. You click on it, you read about it, you go, wow, this isn't like any fruitcake I knew about. That looks delicious. And then you order it. Insert my name, Walter, in the promo code, and you will be blessed for the rest of your life. Leafletonline.com.
Sterling on Sunday. Inspired by Jerry Springer.
Well, Jerry, can you hear me?
I can't hear anything.
The funniest thing about the Elizabeth Holmes story is here's this brilliant woman who skimmed her way through Sanford, came up with this idea for a box to measure your blood sugar and all your blood stuff. You take one drop of blood. One drop of blood. You put it in this machine and it will tell you everything about your blood. She went to a professor at Sanford who she liked and trusted and said, here's my idea for a machine. The professor at Sanford said, that's impossible. It won't work. Well, she didn't like that. Then she went to George Shultz, former Secretary of Defense. Then she went to Henry Kissinger, who was in charge of scary things for Richard Nixon. And she went to a three-star brigadier general. At least that's who she went to. And they all said, oh, we're going to invest. We'll invest money in this. She raised $1 billion. Now, she was found guilty of two counts of fraud, wire fraud, and everything else was either dismissed or she wasn't found guilty of it. I forget. But here's the thing. The whole thing was kabuki theater. She figured that if she wore a black turtleneck like Steve Jobs and lowered her voice to appear more authoritative, it would distract from the fact that she was a pretty young blonde who was already enjoying pretty privilege. She wore a black turtleneck like Steve Jobs, and she spoke lower. So I can just imagine what the preparation was like for her presentations.
I spent a few years whilst at university training my voice and training my accent, and now I sound like this.
Yes, with that voice, you could persuade anybody to give you $1 billion. All right, so she gets the box built. It's called an Edison. She keeps it under tight security in the basement of a Menlo Park, California building. And then she starts to invite reporters to come and see it. And be very impressed with the fact that she's very blonde and speaks with a very low voice.
I spent a few years whilst at university training my voice and training my accent, and now I sound like this.
A persuasive animal. They look at this box and they go, well, okay. Ken Oletta, a reporter for The New Yorker and a graduate of Syracuse University's Newhouse School, two things not to mess with. Ken Oletta, who always wears a sweater. He always looks professorial, very serious man, with a sort of a ha-ha-ha light sense of humor. Ha-ha-ha. You know the kind of guy. You know this kind of guy. He's one of those guys who wears a sweater that buttons on the stomach and somehow or another doesn't make him look fat or hides the fact that he's fat. I don't think either is true. But you know it's an expensive sweater. And he has the hair that never moves. Ken Oletta's hair does not move. My hair is moving as I speak. And he's taken seriously. He has a pair of glasses that are very expensive, probably $400 pair of glasses to read the New Yorker. You got to have a $400 pair of glasses to read the New Yorker. And he's doing his Kenoletta. And he says, well, I have to see the box, Elizabeth, in order to write about it. And she says, oh, absolutely, Ken. Remember, she's speaking in a deep voice.
I spent a few years whilst at university training my voice and training my accent, and now I sound like this.
Yes, she has a deep voice, and she's taking it very seriously. She says, Ken, you have to come and see my box in order to write about it. And he says, fine, I'll come and see your box, Elizabeth. He flies to Menlo Park. He goes to Theronis, or whatever it's called, and he says, where's the box? And she says, this is my box. He says, well, you have to open your box. I can't just look at it and say, well, you know, here's a drop of blood, here's a printout. I need you to open the box. And she says, I can't open my box. It's proprietary information. It's secret information. I can't open my. And he says, well, then I can't write an article about it. Now, just imagine this scene. Here's a real journalist, and he's gone to Menlo Park, where everything is brand new, and he's an old-school reporter. He goes to see it. There it is on a stage, and it's pristine, but she won't open it up. She won't open up her box. He goes home. He doesn't write the article. He said, Elizabeth, in order to write this article, I need you to open your box and show me how it works. A Wall Street Journal reporter goes, let me ask some more questions. He asks some questions, and he gets all the wrong answers. And he busts them. He's like, this isn't okay. But there's another side to this story. At this point, she's raised almost $1 billion from the likes of George Shultz and Henry Kissinger and all the people on that committee. And everybody in the courtroom, when she was tried, forgot this phrase, qualified investor. In order to put money into investments like that, you have to be a qualified investor, according to the Securities and Exchange Commission. You have to be able to demonstrate that if you lost the money, it would not harm you. It would that you, if you made the investment, you would do the due diligence to prove that you know what you're talking about. On investments at that size, with those type of investors, the burden of proof is on the investor. They have to do their good job as an investor. And clearly, none of them bothered to ask enough questions. Why? Why?
I spent a few years whilst at university training my voice and training my accent, and now I sound like this.
Because they bought it. They bought the blonde hair and the turtleneck and the elocution. Her elocution. They bought it.
Now, if I can do it, then so can you. All it takes is the will, a little bit of focus, and lots of practice, and I promise you, you will get there.
Apparently so. But then it got scarier. George Shultz's grandson started to be harassed by the Theranos people. George Shultz started to be harassed by the Theranos people, and they got scared. I'm still not clear as to what the advantage is of giving one drop of blood versus a vial of blood for a blood test. Elizabeth said, oh, you know, so many people are scared. So many people are scared of giving blood that if we could just do one little drop, like for a diabetes test, that more people will have their blood tested. And I think that's a lot of crap. I think it's all a lot of crap. I was tested, how about you? I was tested so far 3 times for COVID, 3 times. And it's a horrible test. I'd rather have the finger prick than the swab up my nose. I've had it tested twice this week, and I'm positive for COVID. This has ruined everything. My 18-year-old has a boyfriend she adores, and he was going to come and stay with us for a couple days. All right, that's out of the question. His parents said, are you nuts? You're not going there. So that ruined my daughter's social life. When you ruin your teenage daughter's social life, your life is over. My holidays are ruined for the next 10 years. I will hear about this the rest of my life. And that goes to trouble having daughters. If you have daughters, you have the hardest job. I thought until now that the hardest part about having daughters was hair in the drain. Having hair in the drain. My mornings start off, what, with a prayer, tea, coffee, study, meditating on the sunrise? No, no, no. It's pulling the hair out of the drain because I have three daughters and a brand new wife. What? No, I guess it's the same wife. It's always the same wife. But they all have hair in the drain. That's how my day starts, negotiating and managing the hair in the drain, pulling it out, getting it out. That's what I do. And then when you're the father of daughters, the biggest relationship you have is with a plumber. Because at every turn, they will do something to tick off the plumbing. Every time they will tick off the plumbing, and I will have to fight to get the hair out of the drain. That's pretty much how we live our life, isn't it, Dad? 888-688-9258. 888-688-9258. We're floating over a number of topics tonight. Number one, I believe the Chinese engineered this horrible disease and spread it to the world. Not the Chinese people, the Chinese government. And when they got every country sick, they would turn around and say, oh, gee, we have the cure. Do you want the cure? We want 10 million tons of grain. We want 400,000 weapons. We want 600 bags of gold. They will use it as the ultimate weapon. That's what I believe, because it's just too elegant. There's no way this came from a bat cave. We're on year two of a bat cave. And whenever I hear the experts talk about COVID, I can hear BS because I'm a talk show host, and I'm like, nobody knows anything. They don't know anything. 888-688-WALT, 888-688-WALT. And topic two, the worst part of being the father of daughters. I say it's pulling hair out of the drain. Hair out of the drain. Oh, we're going to have a lot of fun tonight. Thank you so much for being on Sterling on Sunday. We have the best time. This is a live radio show, 3 hours every Sunday night, 10 to 1.
Sterling on Sunday, inspired by SpongeBob.
Welcome to our club! Welcome to our club! Welcome to our club!
Sterling on Sunday weather from Boston to La Jolla. This is Dr. Dave. We talked about the bitter cold coming into the Northeast, and with that, a pretty good cold front will stir up some pretty big thunderstorms in the Southeast. We're looking at eastern Texas, Arkansas, Louisiana, Mississippi, Alabama, Georgia, and even North Florida. Now, some of these storms might even spawn some tornadoes tonight. Other than that, things are pretty quiet in the nation's midsection. Partly cloudy with 50s in Dallas. Sunny skies with 36 tomorrow in St. Louis, warming up by later in the week. Sunny and dry out west. Torrential rains have turned into scattered showers in the Pacific Northwest, but most of the mountain passes into the Cascades from Portland and from Seattle. Those roads are closed due to heavy snow that fell last week and this weekend, and a shortage of snowplow drivers. Partly sunny in Fairbanks, Alaska, with a high of 3 degrees below zero tomorrow. The odds for better weather are in Las Vegas, with sunny skies and a high around 60 degrees. This is Dr. Dave Iser, staff meteorologist for Sterling at Night. Next weather at 6 and 36 past every hour, only on Sterling at Night.
¶¶
Welcome to the old-fashioned talk show. I'm Brad, and we welcome your comments. Please turn off your radio if you call, and only one call per listener every 30 days. And keep up to date with all technology. Has the dial phone arrived in your home yet? Here's an update from our friends at Bell Labs.
When the signal is given, the fuses are pulled out of the lines that were part of your manual equipment.
Crazy! What next? Telephone satellites?
The satellite is rising over the horizon.
We have a detected signal. The command tracker has acquired. Roger, the telemetry just went into lock.
Bullseye. Andover is dead on target. Having found it, now can we talk to it? AT&T Vice President Joe Cook at Andover is master of ceremonies for a television broadcast with the whole world watching.
That's crazy, talking without wires. I'm Brad. Coming up, we'll talk about government forcing us to use fluoride toothpaste and our forced busing issues ruining our schools and dress codes. Why should women be allowed to wear pants? Now we have to pay some bills. Network news on the hour is next after some long instrumental and then dead air.
Well, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. The fact is that call-in talk radio has had a similar structure for 50 years. They have one driving theme about government interference and one driving theme about morality, and then people call in and argue. But nobody's mind has changed. Instead of busing and instead of fluoride, now we've got vaccines and wokeism, right? But it's the same thing. Nobody's mind has changed. There's no new information. It's sort of sad. That's what existed 50 years ago with call-in talk radio stations. But at the time, there was another type of radio station that was speaking, and that was one that was talking about your day, that the host would come on and talk about trouble with students in school, trouble with the neighbors. How do you deal with the neighbors? How do I get the turnips to grow? Why doesn't my car start? And those stations did much better. The stations that just talked about your day did much better. And then they took phone calls and everything was very interesting, but it appealed to the narcissism. It appealed to the mirror of the listener, put up a mirror to the listener's interests. It did not go down a path of theoretical. There was nothing theoretical about those stations. I asked a dentist recently, I said, that fluoride thing from 50 years ago, the result was that some towns put fluoride in the water and some towns did not. What do you see as the difference? What do you see as the result of that? And he looked at me and said, oh, I can tell in 1 second if somebody grew up in a town with fluoride in the water or not. I said, what do you mean? People who grew up in towns with fluoride in the water have terrific teeth. Not perfect, but terrific teeth. People who grew up in towns that did not put fluoride in the water, it looks like Appalachia towns. Their towns are, their teeth are rotten. They're deteriorating. It's sort of sad. And I went, whoa, you mean the government interference is good? He said, well, for fluoride, it was good. I found that fascinating. Absolutely fascinating. 888-688-9258, 888-688-9258 with Walter M. Sterling at 40 past the hour here every Sunday night for three giant big hours. We have a good time. We drive across Route 80, up and down the I-4 corridor, up and down I-5, and Route 71, otherwise known as the Luge. It's cold out there, man. Well, good news. Oh, you hear that buzz? We are in a laundry room. I'm not going to fool around with something that important. I do my show from the laundry room. Why? Because women decide where men sit. Therefore, we're in the laundry room. There are two things that endlessly annoy me. My printer. Please note how many times somebody will say to you, I really like my computer and I hate my printer. I have never heard anybody say, I love my printer. Years ago, Apple made a printer. When was that? 1990? Yeah, 1990, Apple made a printer. Then they stopped. They made an expensive laser printer, like a $6,000 laser printer. And then they stopped. They said, this is a bad business for us. We can't stay cool if we make printers. And then there was that period of time where if you owned an Apple, no one really could serve you a printer. They didn't really have a printer. Nobody else did. So you suffered. And then Apple sort of made deals with enough printer companies that it's an okay printer that's available to Apple users. I hate my printer. I've always hated my printer. Just when I think I have everything down, where I think everything's working, it doesn't. One ink cartridge is out. One ink cartridge is low. If it's too low, it isn't going to work. If I have a black ink product, if I just need black ink, why can't I tell it to just use the black ink? If the color ink is down and the black ink's fine, it isn't going to run. It'll say, your ink's low. I go, yeah, but the black ink isn't low. Why can't I just run it on the black ink if the color ink is low? It won't let me do that. I have to waste $45 and replace both cartridges every damn time. And then the service engine light. Why doesn't that ever go out? No, that doesn't go out. Well, here's my experience with that. And then we'll talk about Ghislaine Maxwell. My experience has been that 2 weeks ago, my Chrysler Pacifica, the alternator, generator, all that crap worked fine. But it wouldn't start. I had it towed. It went to the dealer. The dealer didn't know what it was, put in a new battery. Works fine. 2 weeks later, it wouldn't start. Generator's fine, alternator's fine, all that stuff's fine, brand new battery. Wouldn't start. I was ready to get it towed back to the dealer, and they've been very good. They've been very good. I haven't paid one penny for these repairs. Finally, I got the golden letter. The golden letter is from Chrysler, and it says the start-stop function. I don't even know what the heck that is. The start-stop function on the Chrysler Pacifica 2017 is a bad deal. It doesn't work. It doesn't work for anybody. Bring it in. We'll fix it for free. Right, so now my wife goes out, pushes the start-stop button, which is that thing that stops it at the light automatically, and then starts it up again when you start the car. I have no interest in that function. I think that's the dumbest, most dangerous, and screwy thing, because it's ultimately going to burn out the starter motor. It has to. She pushes that button, goes to start the car, and boom. When engaging or disengaging the start button, she was able to start the car. We wasted a week of being nice to my mother-in-law to get her car so that we could use her car to drive to dance. Oh, yeah, I have to drive 45 minutes each way to dance and then shovel $400 at them. 888-688-9258, 888-688-9258. I'm Walter M. Sterling, and it's a special hell to have daughters. This is Sterling on Sunday. I am so proud of Mike Lindell for taking a stand, believing in what he believes in, putting a flag in the ground. That's what America is about. You can agree with him or not. That's what America is about. He invented the MyPillow brand pillow. This pillow is remarkable because it does everything I have always wanted a pillow to do. The MyPillow brand pillow is filled with patented material. That patented material will hold its shape, stay cool all night, and it's made in the United States of America. But it's not your pillow until you do one simple thing. When you get it, you throw it in the dryer for 15 minutes, and then it comes to life. Then it becomes fluffy and light, and it's your pillow. You only get it at MyPillow.com, MyPillow.com. You go to the center square, click radio offers, and put in my name, Walter. When you put in my name, you will see the price of that pillow drop from $69.99 to $19.99.
You're not going to do better. These are offers for Midnight Misfits. Mike Lindell came up with that just for us, just for you and me. Go to MyPillow.com. Click the center square of the homepage that says radio offers. And then you will see the price drop in a very sexy way from $69.99 to $19.99. You don't have to go to the checkout counter. You don't have to send in a coupon. It'll drop instantly when you put in the name Walter. Walter. My Pillow. My Pillow brand pillow, mypillow.com.
For the best night's sleep in the whole wide world, visit mypillow.com.
Sterling on Sunday, inspired by the words of Mr. Wizard.
And because a lot of ammonia will dissolve in just a little bit of water, we can make a famous ammonia fountain.
All right, the entire Sterling on Sunday show is dedicated to Mike Doucette. Mike Doucette and Northern Ad Agency. Craig in Philadelphia, welcome to Sterling on Sunday.
Good evening. How are you?
Well, Craig, I have a list of names that I've always thought were cool. That if I was given this the names rather than Walter, I would be a cool guy. I am like the opposite of a cool guy. Everybody in radio is the opposite of a cool guy, but I always thought Craig was a very cool name.
Thank you.
Now, what are you doing tonight? How may I be of service to you?
Well, I've listened to you talk about COVID, and I've had all my shots, and I've also had the booster, and I've been fortunate not to catch anything, those symptoms or anything. And I don't know about being around people who have it, because now they're saying that you don't know if you have a cold or the flu or just the sniffles. Who knows? It's COVID. I think there's still a guessing game, right, for everyone.
I don't think they know anything. I don't think they know anything, Craig. I don't think they have no – and the first sign as a reporter that you can tell they don't know anything is every time – They come out and speak about it. Their story changes every time. Their story can change halfway through a news conference.
Yes, we've been there already, and I guess we're about to go through it again.
Over and over again, they have no idea.
Let's see,
and
Delta,
it would be
Omicron. Who knows?
Right.
Yeah, who
if
knows?
If they would
Corona beer,
exactly. But, Craig, I appreciate you listening, and thank you for your call. I wish that they would just say, we don't know. It's a brand-new virus. It's a brand-new disease. Its pathology is unknown. We don't know. All we know is that, like with any other virus, there are some basic things you can do to stay away from it. Wash your hands. Use a mask. Avoid people who are sick. Same deal as with the flu or the cold. The cold's a nasty thing, too, you know. I had three shots. I had the booster. And you know what? I got it last week, and I'm testing positive for it right now. It's the only positive thing in my life. I'm testing for it right now. And because I got the booster, I would like to believe that my symptoms are minimal. I feel as though I have a bad cold. Well, it isn't even a bad cold. I don't have a runny nose. I'm just achy, like the flu. And it's a mild flu. I therefore believe that the booster did that, but what? We don't know. Nobody knows anything. I have a theory, a very ugly theory, which is that the Chinese government knew about this. They knew about this disease and made a decision to let it be disseminated. And then when it's disseminated enough and enough countries are suffering long enough, the Chinese government, not their people, government, will say, we have an antidote. Now, if you'd like an antidote, we'd like 20 tons of grain, 400,000 rifles, and 50 boats. And that's for starters. And then we'll give you the antidote. worst case scenario. You've seen enough science fiction movies. You know exactly how it works. My phone number is 888-688-9258, 888-688-9258. I'm live, so you might as well talk to me. You have nothing else to do. I was talking about this Elizabeth Holmes creature, this Elizabeth Holmes person. And this Elizabeth Holmes person who invented, and she didn't invent, she arranged to get the funding for the Merlin, not the Merlin, the Edison, you think I'm an idiot, the Edison box, which is supposed to be able to take one drop of your blood and in a few minutes give an analysis to tell you everything that's wrong with you.
I spent a few years whilst at university training my voice and training my accent, and now I sound like this.
Well, it appears the only qualification she had for raising this money is she lowered her voice to appear authoritative. She had great elocution. She had a black turtleneck like Steve Jobs, held herself like Steve Jobs, and didn't blink. She did not blink. She would stand in front of these old guys who were thrilled to meet a blonde, thrilled to meet any blonde who was smart and willing to talk to them. I guess you reach a certain age where you're just really happy to have any blonde talk to you. And she raised $1 billion, which is very different than raising $1 million. You and I can raise $1 million. But these guys were qualified investors. And that meant, according to the SEC, that they had to have the money to invest that would not ruin them if they couldn't get a return. And they had to be willing to perform a certain amount of due diligence. Now, it seems to me they did no due diligence, and they lost their money. And then, here were these powerful old men like George Shultz, who were intimidated by the staff at Theranos, who threatened this guy. I don't think threatening George Shultz is going to end well, and frankly, it was his grandson that busted her. His grandson was being harassed by Theranos to the point where he busted her, and he went to the Wall Street Journal reporter and said, look, this is crazy, because the other reporters wouldn't touch this story. Why? Because they were reporters, and they couldn't verify her claims. Ken Auletta could not verify her claims. It's a hell of a story. Coming up in seconds, you and I will talk about Ghislaine Maxwell. Now, I say that Elizabeth Holmes should have been convicted of nothing, because it was the job of the investors to ask more questions. That was their job. And ask again and again and again. And if you've ever raised venture capital like she did, it is a horrible process. You are tortured. She didn't seem to have been tortured. She didn't seem to have been asked 400 horrible questions by each of those investors. She seemed to have skated all of that and got her money. Therefore, I say that the burden is on the investors, not on Elizabeth. She was sloppy. She was terrible. But she shouldn't go to jail. No way should she go to jail. And she just had a kid. And then Ghislaine Maxwell also shouldn't go to jail, should not be in jail. And I'll explain why in just seconds. This is a fun show. I'm Walter Sterling. This is Sterling on Sunday.
Who was this man? What was he? Others looked at radio and saw a gadget.
Walter M. Sterling
looked at radio and saw a household possession, capable of enriching the lives of millions.
Join the Walter M. Sterling Club.
Sterling at night, weather from Boston to La Jolla. This is Dr. Dave. The Northeast and New England are plagued by freezing rain tonight through parts of Pennsylvania and New York, New Hampshire, Vermont, Connecticut, and Massachusetts. The good news is all of this moves out to sea later tonight. And tomorrow morning, dawn is followed by bright sunshine. A polar express is on its way. Some of the coldest air so far this season is headed our way and will hit by Tuesday morning. We're looking for 14 below in Caribou, Maine, 7 below in Burlington, Vermont, 0 in Albany, 1 below at Lobster Radio in Portland, Maine, 3 degrees in Buffalo, 14 degrees in New York, and 18 degrees in Philly. And then the lake effect snow machine gets into high gear with bitter cold air pouring out of Canada across the unfrozen Great Lakes. Look for feet of snow in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan, Buffalo, Oswego, and Syracuse. And then we'll get some warming. More weather later this hour. This is Dr. Dave Iser, staff meteorologist for Sterling at Night. Next weather at 6 and 36 past every hour, only on Sterling at Night.
Welcome to the old-fashioned talk show. I'm Brad, and we welcome your comments. Please turn off your radio if you call, and only one call per listener every 30 days. And keep up to date with all technology. Has the dial phone arrived in your home yet? Here's an update from our friends at Bell Labs.
When the signal is given, the fuses are pulled out of the lines that were part of your manual equipment.
Crazy! What next? Telephone satellites?
The satellite is rising over the horizon.
We have a detected signal. The command tracker has acquired. Roger, the telemetry just went into lock.
Bullseye. Andover is dead on target. Having found it, now can we talk to it? AT&T Vice President Joe Cook at Andover is master of ceremonies for a television broadcast with the whole world watching.
That's crazy, talking without wires. I'm Brad. Coming up, we'll talk about government forcing us to use fluoride toothpaste and our forced busing issues ruining our schools and dress codes. Why should women be allowed to wear pants? Now we have to pay some bills. Network news on the hour is next after some long instrumental and then dead air.
All right, it's 9 minutes past the hour on KFBK, where it is 8 minutes. It's 8:09. I'll get it. You'll see. KDKA, welcome. KMBZ, this is Sterling on Sunday. Look at this night. Could it be any colder or more miserable? It's just terrible. But if you're in the cab of your 18-wheeler and you get to watch that moon, the moon is spectacular. And this is why you and I work at this time. We work at this time because we know right now the Earth is the most beautiful, the most peaceful, the most giving, and we get to be what? Alone. Because what you and I want most in life is to be alone. You think, as I do, I keep dropping things. You think as I do about, well, okay, when I die, what's going to happen? I know what's going to happen to my body, but is that it? Is that it? Or are there energies and forces and things we can't even imagine going to happen? Now, Mike Hambrick has died, and he was declared legally dead for how many minutes?
Close to 2 minutes, Walter.
By doctors. Doctors declared you legally dead. You were in a hospital?
Yeah, I flatlined.
You flatlined. What was the event that caused you to flatline?
Well, it was COVID. I had spent the better part of 3 months in the hospital. Much of that time in a coma. I was intubated twice. I had three what they call pressors. It's a medication to keep your heart going. Most people don't survive after two, and I had two, and they said, what the heck, let's try three. I was on dialysis. Every organ in my body was being treated in some manner, whether it was hooked up to some kind of electronic machine with all the blue lights and the indications of how good or bad you're doing, or severe medication like the pressors for the heart. My family, my children were being told, and my fiance was being told that they just needed to let me go, that I was going to be at very best brain dead, a vegetable. I wouldn't have any quality of life. And the best, most humane thing to do was just let me go. Well, they didn't, and they persevered. That's one of the messages I think that I'd like to pass on tonight at some point, Walter, is never give up. Because I did die, and it was a very unique and spiritual experience.
I want to hear about that in seconds, but I have some questions before we get to that point.
Sure.
At what point in the history of COVID did you get sick?
Last July.
So it was pretty early on.
Well, the most recent July, yeah.
And tell me about your health overall, if you don't mind the question.
No, it's fine. I was in very good health. I'm 72 years old, Walter, but I had been an avid exerciser. I had did 4 to 5 miles a week, walking and jogging. Spent a couple of 3 hours a day in the gym exercising, and I'd been doing this for most of my adult life, for the better part of 30 some odd years. So I had that going for me. I did not have any underlying health conditions, no high blood pressure, no heart issues. I was very healthy, very healthy, and I think that was a benefit, obviously.
Had you had any COVID vaccines?
No, I had not been vaccinated.
You'd not been vaccinated. So you were a generally healthy guy, even though a healthy guy. You were 72 years old, healthy guy, taking care of yourself. You got struck with COVID. You found yourself in the hospital. When they brought you into the hospital, were you on a ventilator?
No. What happened was I was actually in multiple hospitals. In July, the latter part of July, when I developed, you know, some pretty severe symptoms, I went to a facility here in Northern Virginia, in Central Virginia, in Charlottesville, and I was there for the better part of 2 weeks, and they were giving me, you know, medications, remdesivir and all of that, and I seemed to be improving, and I had also passed the quarantine period, and I actually felt pretty good, actually, and I decided that I was going to drive to Central Tennessee, where I was going to go to work, renew my work on the first of two novels that I'm in the process of writing. And when I got to Crossville, Tennessee, I of course checked in with the doctor and established that relationship. They did some x-rays, and then when I was leaving the hospital, driving away, I got a phone call from the doctor's office saying I must go immediately to the emergency room, that the x-rays showed that I had a pulmonary embolism and that I could die in any moment. So naturally I did that, and that's when my hospital stay started and didn't end until November the 5th.
Wow. All right. You and I are talking to Mike Hambrick, who suffered from COVID and had the worst case scenario from COVID. He died, and he's going to share with us what happened when he died coming up in just seconds on Sterling on Sunday. It's a miserable experience being in a new home, somebody's home that you're staying in for a week or a weekend. It's a horrible experience. You say, oh, yes, I'd love to use your guest room. And then you get to their guest room and it smells funny and it's just not a good plan. One of the ways to get around that is you bring your own pillow. Then you don't have to deal with the smells and the germs of your host. You have MyPillow, MyPillow brand pillow. Where'd you get it? You got it at MyPillow.com. MyPillow.com. You go to the homepage, you click the center square, and what do you get? You get a pillow that's beautiful. It's made in America. It's filled with patented materials. It holds its shape. It stays cool all night. What else do you want? Oh, my gosh, it's $69.99. You don't want that. The way you get rid of that price is on the page. You type in my name, Walter, and the minute you do that, the price will drop from $69.99 to $19.99. Even you can afford it. $19.99, a beautiful pillow for $20. Wow. Now do this tonight. You're not going to do it tomorrow. You're going to forget. Here's the number to call. 800-844-0876. 800-844-0876. Yes, there is a live operator there
right now. Somebody who wants to talk to you. You know, your family and your friends, they don't want to talk to you. But this person does want to talk to you. You can chat with them for a while if you want. Why not? They're there at this hour, this day of the week. Take advantage of it. 800-844-0876. When you reach the MyPillow people, say, I'm listening to Walter. And when you do that, the price will drop to $19.99.
For the best night's sleep in the whole wide world, visit MyPillow.com.
Let me be clear. Clarity Kitchen produces high-quality, edible products infused with CBD. Chef Emily has crafted delicious cookies, incredible brownies, and great-tasting all-natural CBD tea in tea bags, plus Clarity Kitchen's fast-acting water-soluble CBD powder is great in coffee, tea, juice, and even in tap or bottled water. Delicious flavors like blue raspberry, pomegranate, lemon lime, lemon tea, or plain. Go to, here's their website, GetSomeClarity.com. GetSomeClarity.com and order some of these terrific products. And at checkout, put in my name, Walter, to get 10% off your order. This is exclusive for you, Sterling on Sunday misfits. Order at GetSomeClarity.com. Remember to use the promo code Walter for 10% off.
Sterling on Sunday, inspired by the words of Neil Rogers.
And the right against the left, and the left against the right, and who's got the better haircut? The same old, tried and true, tired, monotonous crap that doesn't change anything, and the median age of your audience is death.
Mike Hambrick and I met each other when Mike was a reporter for Howard 100 News. And he's a great reporter and a terrific broadcaster, and now he's an author. Tell me a little bit about the books you're writing, Mike.
Well, I'm writing two novels, Walter, and thank you for asking. You don't write fiction without it being semi-autobiographical, and mine certainly is. The first one is a book titled Memphis. And as you say, I was a broadcaster all my life. I started broadcasting at a small radio station in Northeast Texas as a kid. I was very fortunate in knowing early on that was what I wanted to do. So I did radio through, you know, college and into my early adult years, and then slowly made the transition into television news and became a TV news anchor. I was in, I heard you say KDKA. I was in Pittsburgh at the competition to KDKA, WPXI. It was also, I spent the last 20 years of my broadcast career in Washington, D.C. I worked both at the NBC and the ABC affiliates there. I worked in Dallas. So I worked in major markets in television news. Then kind of reinvented myself when I decided I wanted to get off the media merry-go-round, and I got into something that was really substantial and something that was for sure a sure bet, politics. And I got my fill of that, and then retirement never stuck with me, so I decided that I would become kind of a walking cliche and be a former journalist writing the great American novel. So as I say, it's semi-autobiographical. The first book is called Memphis, and I was a rock and roll DJ back in the day when there were actually DJs on the radio that played music. And I was in Memphis during the height of the civil rights era. I was there when Martin Luther King was killed. I was there when the Memphis sound was really burgeoning.
Where were you a disc jockey in Memphis?
It was at FM 100.
That's a big station, Mike. That's a big station.
Yeah, it was owned by Scripps Howard at the time, and it was kind of grandfathered in. It was most FM stations are 100,000 watts is the maximum they can have. This station, was it 200? Well, this was 300,000. So
No. The biggest you can be is 100, and I thought FM 100 was 200,000.
No, it was 300,000 when I was there.
Wow.
Yeah, and it just blasted out across the flatlands of the Mississippi Delta. So I thought that would be an interesting geographical place and what was going on in the country to look at and explore writing a novel. So I started doing research, and I found out there were a lot of things that were also happening in the South, and it became more than just a rock and roll DJ talking about the glory years of the Memphis Soul and the advent of that in Memphis. But the Dixie Mafia was at large throughout the 13 states of the South. And as it happened, as I was doing research on the Dixie Mafia, I found out that there was a close relationship with J. Edgar Hoover, strangely enough, the FBI.
All right, now, Mike. Mike Camper, this is great stuff. Now, what we have to do is take this great stuff and do it on another show, because what you have to do now is we have to get back to the topic at hand.
Okay.
And the topic at these are great stories, Mike. I can't tell them myself. This is fantastic stuff, Mike. You may have to be on every show. But Mike then went on to get COVID. And when he got COVID, he found himself in a coma and he almost died. And then ultimately, Mike Hambrick did die. Now, would you share with us, when did you die?
I'm not exactly sure the exact date, but it was in October, early October. And
of 2021 or 2020?
2021.
Got it.
Yeah. And it was quite an experience, obviously. I will say that I am not an organized religious person, but I'm a spiritual person.
Sure.
And I'm not unfamiliar with the relationship with a supreme being, whether you call it God or whatever you want to call it. I happen to call it God. And I experienced, and I'm sure there are people out there, not many, but some that probably have experienced the same thing. I did not hear God's voice, but I was in a conversation with God, and I was not as conscious, but there was an aspect of what was going on in my mind at the time. I knew what was happening, and I knew I was dying.
And the doctors had declared you dead, is that correct?
Yeah. Well, okay. I had flatlined, you know, and they were saying that they didn't want to bring me back, but they ultimately did. They think. I don't believe that. I believe it because I was in, as I say, was in a conversation with God, and I was saying, hey, God, it's just me and you, and only you can pull me out of this. I'm turning all of this over to you. You have to make this decision on whether I live or die. Now, I know that may sound, you know, trite and as a story that some people may have heard people testify to a lot. But I have to tell you, let me fast forward to when I did survive. And I came out of the coma, and then all of a sudden, Walter, I was okay. I mean, I was really okay. They didn't have an explanation for it. I came out of the coma, and within 3 days, I was off oxygen. That doesn't happen. Keep in mind, I'd been intubated twice. I was on three pressors. Every organ in my body, major organ, was connected somehow to a life-saving device. And they unplugged it all, and I was okay. There was very little time to where I was past where I was dead, flatlined, and then I was alive and okay and off oxygen and breathing on my own. They had no explanation for it, and they still don't. I was referred to as the miracle man.
Hey, Mike, what's your explanation for it?
It was a divine intervention. No question in my mind, Walter.
Divine intervention happened when you said to God, did you hear God's voice, by the way?
No, but I felt the presence of communication, if that makes sense.
Yes.
I didn't hear an actual voice, but I knew that God's presence was with me, and I felt it. And, my mind registered it like it was something being told to me, but there wasn't your typical physical voice.
Were you scared? Were you scared?
No, I wasn't. It was actually the calmest I'd ever been, because I knew that either I was going to die or stay dead, or I was going to live. And that's a very freeing, if you stop and think about it, That's a very liberating position to be in. You had no, there were no other options. Either you're going to live or die.
If you talk to men and women more spiritual than you and me, because we're in broadcasting, we're not spiritual. If you talk to men and women more spiritual than you and I, they will tell you the moment that you were saved and the moment that your health was restored was the moment when you decided to turn it over to God.
And you I knew that.
Yeah, you said to me in this story, you said, and then I just turned it over to God. And when you said that, that's when your recovery began.
That's when it happened. You're exactly right. And that's when I knew it was going to be all right, is in that moment. And I was. Now, that's not to say that there weren't some difficulties, but it was very, very, very short-lived. I was okay in a matter of 2 or 3 days.
Mike Hambrook, when's your book coming out?
That's a good question. It was obviously delayed because of this experience.
Because you died. It was delayed because you died.
Yeah, exactly. It happens, you know. But I hope to finish it and get it to my editor by the middle of February or the end of February. I've already written a significant amount of it.
All right, Mike, I will share that information when it comes out with my listener, and I thank you so much for sharing this very personal and intimate story. Mike Hambrook on Sterling on Sunday, thank you so much. It's 29 past the hour. I want to talk to you at 888-688-9258, 888-688-9258. Perhaps you have a similar story to Mike Hambrook. Perhaps you have a story where you had an operation and you died, and you experienced something that you never experienced before or since. That's a great story. Here's my number, 888-688-9258. I'm Walter Sterling. I'm live on Sunday night. This is Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday, inspired by Mr. Beast.
I just bought this house, and I'm going to give it to Chandler.
Really?
No!
Sterling on Sunday weather from Boston to La Jolla. This is Dr. Dave. We talked about the bitter cold coming into the Northeast, and with that, a pretty good cold front will stir up some pretty big thunderstorms in the Southeast. We're looking at Eastern Texas, Arkansas, Louisiana, Mississippi, Alabama, Georgia, and even North Florida. Now, some of these storms might even spawn some tornadoes tonight. Other than that, things are pretty quiet in the nation's midsection. Partly cloudy with 50s in Dallas. Sunny skies with 36 tomorrow in St. Louis. Warming up by later in the week. Sunny and dry out west. Torrential rains have turned into scattered showers in the Pacific Northwest. But most of the mountain passes into the Cascades from Portland and from Seattle. Those roads are closed due to heavy snow that fell last week and this weekend, and a shortage of snowplow drivers. Partly sunny in Fairbanks, Alaska, with a high of 3 degrees below zero tomorrow. The odds for better weather are in Las Vegas, with sunny skies and a high around 60 degrees. This is Dr. Dave Iser, staff meteorologist for Sterling at Night. Next weather at 6 and 36 past every hour, only on Sterling at Night.
Welcome to the old-fashioned talk show. I'm Brad, and we welcome your comments. Please turn off your radio if you call, and only one call per listener every 30 days. And keep up to date with all technology. Has the dial phone arrived in your home yet? Here's an update from our friends at Bell Labs.
When the signal is given, the fuses are pulled out of the lines that were part of your manual equipment.
Crazy! What next? Telephone satellites?
The satellite is rising over the horizon.
We have a detected signal. The command tracker has acquired. Roger, the telemetry just went into lock.
Bullseye. Andover is dead on target. Having found it, Now can we talk to it? AT&T Vice President Joe Cook at Andover is master of ceremonies for a television broadcast with the whole world watching.
That's crazy, talking without wires. I'm Brad. Coming up, we'll talk about government forcing us to use fluoride toothpaste and our forced busing issues ruining our schools and dress codes. Why should women be allowed to wear pants? Now we have to pay some bills. Network news on the hour is next after some long instrumental and then dead air.
2022 is just getting started, and Florida Stories is already insane. What do you do if you lose a bunch of money on some bad cryptocurrency advice? Well, you kidnap the guy naked, torture him, and get him to sign an LLC contract with his spouse. Wait a second. For Sterling on Sundays, I'm James Parker. That's coming up on part one of Florida Stories.
888-688-9258, 888-688-WALT. Anwar, welcome to Sterling on Sunday. Hello, Anwar.
Hey.
Hey, buddy.
I'm good.
Okay, are you talking to me or are you listening to the radio?
No, I'm talking to you.
Okay, what's going on?
Not much. So, yeah, I caught COVID last year.
And how do you feel?
I feel good. I mean, the only side effects that I had was my taste and sense of smell.
You still haven't gotten your taste back?
Nah, I haven't got it back to, you know, the accuracy as which it was.
So you had it pretty bad?
Not pretty bad, you know what I mean? Well, when I first contracted and had it, you know, I was doing the COVID outbreak. I go and get tested for COVID, and I think it was like my fifth test. I went and got tested, and yeah, I tested positive for it. So I put myself in quarantine from that, and I reached out to one of my family members, and they referred me to a symptometry doctor. So symptometry doctor gave me a formula that he specially created that I had to take, and I had to change my diet. So I changed my whole diet because I had to get rid of the lactose acid that was in my body.
Right.
So my diet consisted of broccoli, Brussels sprouts, butternut squash, and the way I had to cook it, I had to cook it with spring water. You know what I mean? I couldn't drink any ice cold water. I had to drink all room temperature water. The only juices I could consume was pineapple juice. And the only fruits I could eat was like papaya and pineapple. You know,
so that's very healthy. That's very healthy.
Yeah.
Nobody would object to that diet.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. Now, I have a far more important question for you.
Okay.
You live in Scottsdale, Arizona?
Yeah. That's where I reside at, Scottsdale, Arizona. So I just travel throughout the East and West Coast. You know?
All right. Let me ask you a key question. You live in Scottsdale. You travel. You travel for work?
Yeah, I travel for work. Yeah.
All right. So you have the life I want. You're in Scottsdale, where what's the temperature right now?
Scottsdale temperature right now is nighttime, so it's pretty cool outside. It's pretty cool.
What, 55?
Yeah, around about 55.
Yeah, around 55. And where I am, the temperature is 19, maybe 15. Tomorrow it'll be 20. And you get to travel around the country to warm cities?
Yeah, warm cities, cold cities. Yeah.
All right, so you have a great life. That's fantastic to have this life. Do you have like a back porch and you can see cactus out your back porch? Do you see cactus out your window?
Yeah, I mean, I see cactus out my room. Yeah, thanks.
Nice. So congratulations on your life. We're all very jealous of you. And I appreciate
you should be.
We should be. Now, what about the women? Do you have many women?
I try to stay away from that situation. You know what I mean? I'm just looking for one particular woman in choice, you know what I mean? So I can just this is how, going down after this.
How are you able to manage that? How are you able to manage, like, with one woman? Have you achieved that at any time?
Well, I'm really not trying to achieve that. So, I mean, it's goals and things I have that I'm focused on within myself. So, you know what I mean? So, it's just, it when it comes. It doesn't. It's not a rush thing.
You're very spiritual.
Yeah, well, you have to be living in a spiritual world. You know?
Living in a spiritual world. Listen, you're very wise. I hope you call me again. Thank you very much for listening to Sterling on Sunday. My number is 888-688-9258, 888-688-9258. We have a lot of fun, don't we? I mean, this is like the way a radio show is supposed to go. You're not supposed to scream at the Democrats all the time. There's no upside in screaming at the Democrats all the time. 888-688-9258. This is Sterling on Sunday. Let me be clear. It's called Clarity Kitchen, and they produce high-quality edible products infused with CBD. Chef Emily has crafted delicious cookies, incredible brownies, and great-tasting all-natural CBD tea. In tea bags, easy to use. Plus, Clarity Kitchen's fast-acting, water-soluble CBD powder is great in coffee, tea, juice, and even in tap water or bottled water. Fast-acting CBD helps relieve some pains and anxiety in minutes. Go to, here's their website, terrible name for a website, ready? GetSomeClarity.com. You can do it. GetSomeClarity.com to order some of these fantastic products. And to check out, use the code WALTER for 10% off your order. This is exclusive for you, for Sterling on Sunday Misfits. Order at GetSomeClarity.com. GetSomeClarity.com. Remember to use WALTER for 10% off.
Sterling on Sunday.
New Year's means throwing out old ideas and trying new ideas. A new idea that I've tried out is fruitcakes. What? Fruitcakes. The ideas I had about fruitcakes just aren't true. There's a new fruitcake that is like, oh, this is what I imagined when I first heard about fruitcakes. This is the idea. It's the Trappist fruitcake from a monastery. It comes in a pound or 3 pound size, and this is where you can see it. Leafletonline.com. L-E-A-F-L-E-T online. Leaflet. Online.com, and it will take you to an incredible array of products made in a monastery, including the fruitcake. You have to take a look at the fruitcake. I've never seen a fruitcake that looks like this. It's delicious. You can get a 1 pound size or a 3 pound size. When you click to check out, put in my name, Walter, and you will be blessed for the rest of your life.
Writer Kate Michaels has a new project and an enigmatic new collaborator.
There's been murders in my neighborhood.
Sometimes there's a thin line between fact and fiction.
Who is it? FBI.
I need help. Ma'am, can you give me your address?
Kate Mara and Adam Scott in Ghost Rider, a new one-episode feature-length podcast movie experience from C13 Features.
Ghost Rider is available now on the Odyssey app and wherever you find your podcasts.
So, you have a new smart speaker or a connected device.
No matter what device you have, Odyssey has something you'll love.
Blast your favorite music on home entertainment devices like Roku, Chromecast, Sonos, and more.
Just look for the Odyssey app.
Want to access more stations through your car?
Try out Odyssey with Waze or Apple CarPlay. Plus, listen to your favorite stations on your phone with the Odyssey app.
Listen to Odyssey anytime on all your smart speakers and connected devices.
Odyssey.
Odyssey. Odyssey.
That's Angel, finest girl west of the Rockies.
I have to meet her.
Redeeming Love, based on the best-selling novel by Francine Rivers.
I will rescue.
Redeeming Love, in theaters January 21st. May be appropriate for children under 13.
We're all on this planet together, so join Odyssey and find your one thing. Don't forget about the environment when making your New Year's resolutions. This year, resolve to recycle more. Recycle paper, bottles, and cans. Reuse paper and plastic bags, and get a reusable bag for groceries. Recycle old clothes by donating them to charity. And recycle all your old electronics, like TVs, computers, and cell phones, at appropriate e-waste facilities. Join Odyssey, and together, each of us doing one thing makes a greener tomorrow. What's your one thing?
Sterling on Sunday doesn't fit in.
2022 is just getting started, and Florida Stories is already insane. What do you do if you lose a bunch of money on some bad cryptocurrency advice? Well, you kidnap the guy naked, torture him, and get him to sign an LLC contract with his spouse. Wait a second. For Sterling on Sundays, I'm James Parker. That's coming up on part one of Florida Stories.
888-688-9258, 888-688-9258. This is the Dave Scalish radio station. Kathleen in New Jersey, welcome to Sterling on Sunday. Hi.
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 Are you ready for me? I don't know.
Kathleen, clearly I'm not ready for you. No man is ready for you. We take years of preparation to be truly ready for you, Kathleen. And I know a lot about Kathleen's. My current wife is named Kathleen. And the one thing I know about Kathleen's is you are not Katie and you're not Kathy. You're
no,
Kathleen.
Never.
You
no,
are.
No.
And I'll bet We're you, I'll bet you that you are first communion and confirmed.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we won't go there, though. Mm. It's, yeah. Now, what I wanted to talk to you about was when I was in, I lived in China and went over there to work in 2008. And, well, actually in 2007. Got sick, came home, got some sort of antibiotic, straightened me out within like 3 days. And then the next year I thought, I want to go back because I really liked the work that I was doing. I was working in orphanages. And I got really sick the second time, like really, really high fever for days, 105, congested and cough and sore throat that just wouldn't quit and all this stuff. And I had to come back to America where I really wanted to kiss the ground. And that was a long time ago, you know? So it was like 2007, 2008. Okay, so I get back, and it took me 8 weeks to get well. My ex-husband was traveling a lot with his job, and so I was pretty much there with the arsenal of drugs that the doctor had given me, in bed, just like barely making it, thinking at some point, eh, I might die, maybe I won't, I don't know. But anyway, I got through it. No doctors, no ventilators, no hospital, you know. The doctor I had, actually, I did have a doctor because he's the one who gave me the arsenal of drugs. He said, you have some sort of pneumonia and maybe like a virus that's mixed in with it, maybe a flu, maybe it's the flu that's going around that's also in with this pneumonia you have. Anyway, he gave me the drugs. I went home, and I after 6 to 8 weeks, I got well enough to make a cup of soup. So I'm curious because it's when I heard about COVID, it sounded exactly like what I went through because I went through it for a long time. Didn't die, got better. I didn't have anyone attended me at all. Did it all by myself. So I think I probably must have like an autoimmune thing or something going on because I have been surrounded by people who've gotten it and gotten sick with COVID through work, whatever. And they, you know, they're pretty sick, and then eventually they go. Some of them go to the hospital and get better. I had a sister who passed away. She was like 10 years older than me, and she wasn't like in very good health anyway. Another sister who had it, and she did take like 4 or 5 weeks.
So Kathleen, what do you think? Do you think that it was done on purpose by the Chinese government? Or do you think it's you think it was done on purpose?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah,
and
me
I'll
too.
Tell you why I think that. Because when you live there, when you're there, the government is completely different than the people, and it doesn't there's no question in my mind that this was a created thing.
Right. Kathleen, I have another question for you. In New Jersey, where you live, and I assume you grew up?
Yeah.
Yeah, because people who live in Jersey is a, yeah, people who live in Jersey as grown-ups are volunteers, so usually it means that they grew up there. Where do you get your pizza?
I love that question.
Well, that defines a true New Jersey person.
Yeah, I would say where I am right now, I'm trying to think, the best pizza that I got, unfortunately, had to close because of the whole COVID thing.
Yeah.
Basically shutting down their business. They were really the best. And I have to say, second to them, I was up in Maine for like
No, Kathleen, no. Thank you for your call.
No,
No. We're not going to talk about Maine pizza. We're talking about Jersey pizza. Thank you for your call, Kathleen. Thank you. Vince in Philadelphia, welcome to Sterling on Sunday at 888-688-9258. 888-688-9258. Hi, Vince.
Hey, good evening, Walter. Thank you for always a very good program.
No, stop. I'll let you talk. I'll let you talk as long as you want. But since I'm only on once a week, why is it always a very good program?
Because, you know what, it's outside the box. It makes people think. It compels people to think as opposed to just listen to the same old, same old. And, you know, you start to listen to some of these other radio shows, and it's the same regurgitated nonsense every day. But your points and your topics and everything is very thought-provoking.
All right, you'll be in the promo. Now, what were you going to say, Vince?
Okay, so my thing is with the cryptocurrencies. I'm very dubious of it. I think that people, especially a lot of young people, they're looking for the next best thing, and I really do not trust it. I think that the government will never tolerate anything it can't control. If it does tolerate it, it's because it's got something to do with it, and then I definitely don't want to trust it. But there's something – I think people have gotten used to the idea of transferring money, whether it's by wire, whether it's by Venmo, whether it's – you know, everything's becoming more digitalized. So they think that cryptocurrency, well, it's the same kind of thing, but it's not. You know, what happens if everything just goes bad? Now your money's just gone. And then these things with this NFTs, which I think is another big scam.
What's that?
NFT stands for non-fungible token. It sounds like it's some bizarre thing, but what it is basically it's selling virtual property in the form of like some sort of video clip or art. And you go online, you transfer your money, you turn it into cryptocurrency, and then you buy these NFTs through these auctions. And I'm talking about millions of dollars, and everybody's like, "Oh, wow, this is the next great way to make money." However, it's the next big scam. So I think we're in for some really tough times ahead. And if people keep buying into the cryptocurrency, it's going to go bad eventually.
Yeah, Vince, the misnomer there is they keep calling it cryptocurrency. It is not a currency. It's an asset. It's a crypto asset. And like you say, to me, I'm like, wait a minute. This was created by an invisible man in an unspecified country without an address. And the way you get it is you mine it from mines you can't actually go and visit. That's insane. It's freaking insane. Thank you for your call, Vince. I appreciate it. 888-688-9258. Coming up in the next hour, we have our Midnight Misfits. Our Midnight Misfits. People who, like me, have no real friends. But we cling to the radio to give the illusion of being social. Plus, I've got Florida stories. We have our Grubhub driver in Vegas waiting to talk to us, who listens to KXNT. I love KXNT. It's run by one of the great general managers of our time. 888-688-9258. Walter Sterling, Sterling on Sunday.
this man? What was it? Others looked at radio and saw a gadget.
Walter M. Sterling.
Looked at radio and saw a household possession capable of enriching the lives of millions.
Join the Walter M. Sterling Club.
Sterling at night weather from Boston to La Jolla. This is Dr. Dave. The Northeast and New England are plagued by freezing rain tonight through parts of Pennsylvania and New York, New Hampshire, Vermont, Connecticut, and Massachusetts. The good news is all of this moves out to sea later tonight. And tomorrow morning, dawn is followed by bright sunshine. A polar express is on its way. Some of the coldest air so far this season is headed our way and will hit by Tuesday morning. We're looking for 14 below in Caribou, Maine, 7 below in Burlington, Vermont, 0 in Albany, 1 below at Lobster Radio in Portland, Maine, 3 degrees in Buffalo, 14 degrees in New York, and 18 degrees in Philly. And then the lake effect snow machine gets into high gear with bitter cold air pouring out of Canada across the unfrozen Great Lakes. Look for feet of snow in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan, Buffalo, Oswego, and Syracuse. And then we'll get some warming. More weather later this hour. This is Dr. Dave Iser, staff meteorologist for Sterling at Night. Next weather at 6 and 36 past every hour, only on Sterling at Night.
Welcome to the old-fashioned talk show. I'm Brad, and we welcome your comments. Please turn off your radio if you call, and only one call per listener every 30 days. And keep up to date with all technology. Has the dial phone arrived in your home yet? Here's an update from our friends at Bell Labs.
When the signal is given, the fuses are pulled out of the lines that were part of your manual equipment.
Crazy! What next? Telephone satellites?
The satellite is rising over the horizon.
We have a detected signal. The command tracker has acquired. Roger, the telemetry just went into lock.
Bullseye. Andover is dead on target. Having found it, now can we talk to it? AT&T Vice President Joe Cook at Andover is master of ceremonies for a television broadcast with the whole world watching.
That's crazy, talking without wires. I'm Brad. Coming up, we'll talk about government forcing us to use fluoride toothpaste and our forced busing issues ruining our schools and dress codes. Why should women be allowed to wear pants? Now we have to pay some bills. Network news on the hour is next after some long instrumental and then dead air.
For Sterling on Sundays, I'm James Parker, and this is Florida Story. Thank you. For our first Florida story, we're going to St. Cloud, where about a year ago, these two guys met, and one guy convinced the other one to invest thousands of dollars in cryptocurrency, and he lost a bunch of money. So in order to get back at this guy, he gets a beautiful 19-year-old girl to befriend him, and then convinces the married man to come meet her at her house for a little action. Well, it's not really her house. The rival of the guy had rented an Airbnb, and when the guy gets there, she asks him if he could take a shower first. He says, sure. And while he's naked in the shower, the guy that's mad at him jumps out. Aha, I've got you now. Kidnaps him, ties him to a chair. And he tells him, I lost thousands of dollars because of you. I want my money back. And so he said, all I have on me is $200. So he takes the $200. What else you got? Well, I have nothing in the bank. I'm bankrupt too. I followed my own bad advice. He's like, well, do you have anything? Well, I've got like $450 in my Venmo. Well, I'll take that. And so then the naked guy tells the upset idiot holding him hostage about some business plan that they can make all their money back. He just needs him to sign on the dotted line. But since it's a LLC between him and his wife, that he's going to have to get his wife to sign the paperwork too. And the wife calls the cops and this whole thing gets busted up. But that really happened. Some 30-year-old really did that. That's not like a Quentin Tarantino subplot. Hold my beer.
Wait. Hold my beer.
What? Hold my beer.
Hold my beer. What?
For our next Florida story, we're going to the villages, where if you're a postal worker, that has to be a pretty sweet gig in the villages. But some postal worker, I guess it wasn't exciting enough delivering the mail in America's friendliest hometown. She developed a heroin habit. It was having a devastating effect on her economically. So she started stealing holiday cards this Christmas season. You know, because sometimes grandma mails out $20 in cash or $100 in cash, who knows. But she did actually rake in tens of thousands of dollars. She had stolen over 4,000 holiday cards that we know of. And now it's going to be even harder for her to get heroin. Hold my beer.
Wait. Hold my beer. What?
Hold my beer.
Hold my beer.
Stay tuned. Today's second installment of Florida Stories is right around the corner. Florida Stories is a Spring Rock production, springrockmedia@gmail.com. Follow me on Twitter @JamesParkerShow. For Sterling on Sundays, I am James Parker, and this is Florida Stories.
I have COVID. I tested positive. I have COVID. I'm quarantined. I'm in my basement. I do my show from my laundry room. A lot of DJs these days for the past few years have been at home for the first time doing the cutting edge radio that they do from their laundry room, living room, bedroom. Ooh, I'm not in the studio. Whoa, we're out of control. It's crazy. We're not allowed to be in the station. We don't know what to do. Let me tell you, you should be ashamed of yourself if it took a pandemic to get you out of the radio station and into your home, which is the correct place to do a radio show. That is the normal place to do a radio show, because then maybe you can start talking about things that are eye level to your listener and not crap for radio people. Here's a clue. Until 1970 or so, most talk stations, most talk radio hosts did their shows from their homes. In fact, the number one radio station in America, WOR, most of their hosts did their shows from their homes. And they'd answer the door. Oh, I told them not to come to the door at this time. I told them not to come when we were on the air. You'd hear them answer the door. Please don't come again while we're on the air. There they are on the number one station, 50,000 watts, 2 million listeners, everybody hearing them say, please don't come to the door again. It was great radio. And then we got serious. Then we decided to attack the Democrats, and everything went to hell. How come we only have older demos now? It's because all you're doing is attacking the Democrats. It's insane. It's just insane.
I'm on this stage because I'm a pretty white woman.
But I'm rich and I'm pretty, so it doesn't really matter.
No! I want to be a pretty girl!
Well, you're not a pretty girl! And you know it!
I want to be!
Pretty privilege. Pretty privilege. I used to date a woman who was pretty and on TV. A double whammy, pretty and on TV. We'd go into any store, and she walked out with something. We'd go into an ice cream store, a deli. Oh, we walked out with a month worth of food. They would here, this is for you. This is the ice cream for you. What, you want more? Everything was a triple scoop. Figuratively and literally, it was a triple scoop. That was her life. That's what she knew, because she was pretty. That's how she walked through life. Everybody has the opportunity to be privileged. What does that mean? It means that you get something for just being. And there's great resentment of that in America. White privilege, black privilege, rich privilege, pretty privilege. Pretty privilege. What pretty girl in your high school didn't have privileges that the less than pretty ones had? What pretty girl didn't have privileges? They even celebrated it. They made a prom queen. What did she get? She got all sorts of gifts from local merchants. They went out and sold gifts to the local merchants for her. This has always been part of our culture. It's always been part of every culture. Best looking guy, all sorts of stuff. Best looking woman, all sorts of stuff. But now, instead of it being an okay thing, it's evil. It's evil. But most of the time, to get beyond, here's a free bouquet, here's an extra sundae, here's an extra scoop, to get beyond that, you actually have to do something. You actually have to achieve something. There are cities, entire cities,
that suffer from being ugly. Everybody in the city is ugly. And then there are cities where they celebrate the fact that everybody's attractive. 9 out of 10 people in L.A. are more attractive than people in the rest of the country. Just a fact. I've spent enough time in L.A. to know that that's true. 9 out of 10 people in New York City are more attractive than people in the rest of the country. They dress a little better. They look a little sharper. They have better haircuts. They look a little better. It's part of the way they succeed in New York. But let me tell you, you go to Cleveland, you could spend 2 weeks in Cleveland and never see anybody attractive. It is the fattest city in America. They're like, is there anybody attractive here? You go to Cleveland, you look around and go, is there anybody pretty here? They're all big. They're all like really big. The greatest gift that the Cleveland Clinic and university hospitals could give the people of the city of Cleveland would be a citywide campaign to lose 30 pounds. Here's the official Cleveland Clinic diet. Let's all lose 30 pounds. But the fact is that, and it's a fact, that 9 out of 10 people in L.A. are attractive. 9 out of 10 people in Manhattan are attractive. And is that a privilege, or did they work at it? Do they go to the gym more than you? Do they go to the really good salon? Do they do the sample sales that are the right sample sales? Do they bother to go to a tailor? Do they bother to go to a tailor? 888-688-9258, 888-688-9258. Let's you and I talk about pretty privilege and the fact that it's rarely acknowledged, but it's an absolute fact. Sterling on Sunday. If I were to say fruitcake to you, you would envision a food that you may not like think is great. But the idea of an actual fruitcake made properly is a very attractive idea, with fresh, moist cake and fruit that tastes like it's just been picked and looks beautiful. The idea of a fruitcake properly done is very appealing. And now for the first time in your life, you can get a fruitcake made right. You get it at the Trappist Monastery. The Trappist Monastery. Here's their website. It's a wacky website. LeafletOnline.com. L-E-A-F. LeafletOnline.com. This is a real Trappist monastery in California, and they make a remarkable array of products. But what you want to try for sure is the fruitcake. This is a great way to start a new year or to bring a gift for a New Year's Eve party or New Year's Day party. This is the gift. Here's the address of the Trappist monks. LeafletOnline.com. Leaflet, L-E-A-F, LeafletOnline.com. And you will find monastery treats, incredible treats made by monks. You know it's pure, you know it's good, and you know it's blessed. You'll also find a lot of religious items that might be attractive to you as a gift-getting item. These are called monastery treats. It's at leafletonline.com. And you want to order the Trappist fruitcake. When you get to checkout, enter my name, the Holy Walter. Put in my name, Walter, and you will be blessed for the rest of your life.
Sterling on Sunday.
800-844-0876. That's the number where a live person is waiting to talk to you. Yes, at this hour, this day of the week, there is a live person waiting to talk to you at 800-844-0876. The MyPillow brand pillow is available now for $19.99 if you say the name Walter. Usually it's $69.99, but today, tonight, it's $19.99. I don't know how long that's going to last. Take advantage of it right now. And the fact is that at 800-844-0876, there's a live operator, because I said if you want to be on Sterling on Sunday, if you want to share this audience, you've got to pony up. You have to staff that phone number. You have to make them available for a conversation. You have to make them available for a party. 800-844-0876. Order the pillow. $19.99. You can order four pillows, and then you have the bedroom set you have always wanted. 800-844-0876. Order the MyPillow brand pillow right now.
Sterling on Sunday, inspired by the words of Al Bundy.
I feel better after I have a nice cup of coffee.
2022's just kicked off and Florida's already dumb as hell. Come hear some of the worst disguised criminals. For Sterling on Sundays, I'm James Parker. That's coming up on part two of Florida Stories.
At 36 past the hour, you and I will hear part two of Florida Stories. Angie, near Kansas City, welcome to Sterling on Sunday. Hi.
Hi. My story flips way back to what you were talking about before about COVID and people talking about it being here sooner. I think it was here sooner. My son, January 1st of 2020, he was sleeping in bed with his dad and I because we let him sleep in bed. He was six. And we let him sleep in bed with us. He was hot, so hot. I woke up, took his temperature with three different thermometers. His temperature was 105.3. Called the nurse online thing while we were dressing him and getting him in the car, but she said, yeah, take him to the ER. And the doctor in the ER gave me this huge lecture about how if a child has a temperature, that just means that they are fighting some sort of a virus. And she just kept talking and talking, and I was like, excuse me, what? 105.3. My son, he's six. He's on fire. And when she left the room, I looked at my husband and I said, is it Spanish flu? Because the virus she's talking about. What is she talking about? But I wonder if COVID
was that a doctor or a nurse? Was that a doctor or a nurse?
It was the doctor, the actual doctor.
Isn't that terrifying?
Yes. Yes, it is. And I wonder, my husband and I have COVID right now. We've already tested positive. His test hasn't come back. My son's hasn't come back yet. But he's not super sick. He's coughing a bit.
Right.
Sneezing. But he doesn't feel bad. But I wonder if he didn't have it sooner. I wonder if it wasn't here. I just wonder if it wasn't here sooner than we think.
Well, here's what I think, Angie. Here's what I think. Number one, no place in America has better ribs than Kansas City. Number two, it's absolutely true. No place in America has a more beautiful Christmas than the Plaza in Kansas City.
Oh, exactly.
And no place in America has a better airport than Kansas City with the parquet wood floors, and you can see your car from the gate. It's unbelievable.
Oh, you know they've changed that, though, right?
They did?
Yeah, they've shut down the whole airport. They've turned it to a one-terminal system. It's ridiculous. It's a money grab from a bunch of people. But yeah.
Well, yeah. The
not
money grab from
what you say.
The money grab from people who pour concrete would be my suspicion. So
yeah.
For a while, I dated a woman who lived in Kansas City. And she was beautiful and sweet enough for me to go to Kansas City on a regular basis. From Manhattan.
I know, right?
From Manhattan.
We have really pretty people here.
It's crazy.
Just to say.
You have crazy, crazy pretty women in Kansas City. It's absolutely
right?
True. Yes.
Not New York or L.A.?
Yeah.
But it's crazy pretty.
Now, as for the disease, and thank you very much for your call. Thank you. As for the disease, I believe it got here much sooner. I believe that my 17-year-old daughter had it 2 years ago. I never saw anybody as sick as my 17-year-old daughter. She had every symptom of COVID to the nth degree. Could not have had it worse. We thought she was going to die. I hate it when I hear pediatricians and I hear MDs saying, well, you know, the fever is a very normal thing. No, 105-degree fever in a 6-year-old is not a very normal thing. You know, it's the way the body heals itself. No, I don't think so. I don't think that's a good way for it to heal itself. Give it antibiotics. And then there's that BS. the BS that the medical profession has given itself, which is that, well, you know, we believe that antibiotics have been overprescribed over the years. And, okay, well, that's fine. You continue to not overprescribe them to other people, but I was from a different decade when antibiotics was the go-to choice. You give me and my kids antibiotics. They have all these crazy theories. And then my favorite moment with a pediatrician, not the one we use now, who was one who said, my kid was like 18 months, and she said, okay, you can read to her now. Like, what? Yes, now you can read to your child. That's none of your business whether or not I read to my child. I want you to give the kid antibiotics. And that's your job. Your only job is to give the kid antibiotics. 105-degree fever. This poor woman, I feel so bad for her. But what's weird about the COVID here is nobody seems to go to their primary care physician. Why couldn't I go to my primary care physician for a COVID test when this started? Why did I have to go to a parking lot, sit in cones like a fourth world country to get a nose thing from a stranger in a parking lot? Why couldn't I go to my primary care physician to get a COVID test? That still makes no test. And why aren't there no sense? And why aren't there enough tests? And why do I have to play drugstore roulette to land on a square to get a vaccine? My only hope is to get one within a day's drive. My first time was 50 miles away to get a COVID shot. I got the first two 50 miles away. This time I was able to get it in a terrifying part of the center city. But at least it was sort of nearby. It's nuts. None of this makes sense. And the reason none of it makes sense is because it doesn't. And the reason it doesn't is because nobody is admitting the key fact, which is we know nothing. All of them, you know who they are, all of them get on TV, contradict each other in the same press conference, and they know nothing. That's what's terrifying about it. They're guessing. They're guessing. My number is 888-688-9258, 888-688-9258, and you're my midnight misfit. You and I don't belong here. We're not normal, and we get to talk about that. It's pretty spectacular. I have another Florida story for you coming up, and Vic Ferrari's secret police detective story in seconds.
Sterling on Sunday, inspired by the words of Long John Neville.
It contains a circus act by the name of the Flying Fools.
Sterling on Sunday weather from Boston to La Jolla. This is Dr. Dave. We talked about the bitter cold coming into the Northeast, and with that, a pretty good cold front will stir up some pretty big thunderstorms in the Southeast. We're looking at Eastern Texas, Arkansas, Louisiana, Mississippi, Alabama, Georgia, and even North Florida. Now, some of these storms might even spawn some tornadoes tonight. Other than that, things are pretty quiet in the nation's midsection. Partly cloudy with 50s in Dallas. Sunny skies with 36 tomorrow in St. Louis, warming up by later in the week. Sunny and dry out west. Torrential rains have turned into scattered showers in the Pacific Northwest, but most of the mountain passes into the Cascades from Portland and from Seattle. Those roads are closed due to heavy snow that fell last week and this weekend, and a shortage of snowplow drivers. Partly sunny in Fairbanks, Alaska, with a high of 3 degrees below zero tomorrow. The odds for better weather are in Las Vegas, with sunny skies and a high around 60 degrees. This is Dr. Dave Iser, staff meteorologist for Sterling at Night. Next weather at 6 and 36 past every hour, only on Sterling at Night.
For Sterling on Sundays, I'm James Parker. Welcome to part two of Florida Stories. For our next Florida story, we're going to DeBary. It is 3 a.m. on a Tuesday. So in Florida time, that's just a really late Monday night. And these two guys, one Florida man is 24, the other Florida man is 33. The 33-year-old dresses up like a woman, puts on a wig, gets some big sunglasses, even down to the fishnet stockings. And they go to the Circle K around the corner, and he jumps out with the gun, goes to the clerk, demands, "I want all your money and your cigarettes." Why are you stealing cigarettes? Anyway, so he gets some money and cigarettes, jumps in a rented U-Haul van with a taillight out, and drives off. So there's a pretty easy description for the cops. They did manage to go hit another gas station in the same U-Haul van with the busted taillight, and no one got the plate numbers. But it's pretty obvious. You stick out like a big orange sore thumb, and you have a taillight out. So they had to ditch the van after the second one, and the cops caught them walking down the street because they were so ridiculously dressed. Or at least the one guy was dressed, still wearing the fishnet stockings and everything. Can you hide yourself any worse? Hold my beer.
Hold my beer.
For our next Florida story, we go to Miami Beach.
New at 11 tonight, a Central Ohio man is in police custody in Miami after allegedly punching a man at a hostel. According to a Miami Beach police report, Jason Dyer Mitchell was being loud and drinking a bottle of vodka when he punched a man two or three times in the head and neck. The victim and witnesses say Dyer Mitchell had a nail in between his knuckles when he was punching him. He's being charged with aggravated battery along with drug and alcohol charges.
Yeah, check out this list of charges. Aggravated battery with a deadly weapon, possession of ecstasy, possession of more than 20 grams of marijuana with intent, and possession of an open container of alcohol. That's a bottle of vodka there. I don't know if he's going to end up in prison or not, but he was there to have a real good time. Hold my beer.
Hold my beer.
For our next Florida story, let's go to WFLA.
A new bill in the state legislature would allow schools to install cameras in classrooms to record classroom instruction and let parents review the footage if there is ever an incident.
The bill would force certain classroom teachers to wear a microphone and require a written explanation if that recording is interrupted.
I don't know where you stand politically on this bill. I don't care. I just know if we can record every piece of video and every piece of audio in every Florida classroom, Florida Stories will have so much material. We will be a 3-hour-a-day show. We might be a 6-hour-a-day show. It would be epic.
Hold my beer.
Florida Stories is a Spring Rock production. SpringRockMedia@gmail.com. Follow me on Twitter @JamesParkerShow. For Sterling on Sundays, I am James Parker, and this is Florida Stories.
Every time they dig a hole, there's a new puzzle to solve without solving the previous puzzles. And the Portuguese have all of a sudden come across as being one of the inhabitants of the amazing Oak Island. They are digging and trying to find out what's going on with this island and why is it so important. And that answer is relatively simple. It's an island off of the main coast of Canada. Tough to get to unless you had a ship back in the 1700s. The other thing about Oak Island is that it was important to the Spanish, the French, and the English. So the Portuguese, call them interested. Metal detection expert Gary Drayton found a spike, an amazing metal spike, that comes back to whom? What object of antiquity did the Knights Templar apparently have? The Holy Grail. Oak Island's mysteries keep growing, but it all leads back to the Holy Grail. From Maine to La Jolla to my living room, this is noted Oak Island expert Velo Hool for Sterling at Night.
What's your name?
I am so privileged to have contributors like James Parker and Velo Hool build on this incredible network radio show. It made me want to have a Motown Monday. We will now have 2 minutes of Motown Monday.
Is it Mary or Sue? What's your name?
seen Licorice Pizza yet? The movie Licorice Pizza, directed by Ernie Anderson's son. You have to go see it. It's 42 past the hour on the coldest night of the year. This is Sterling on Sunday.
I am so proud of Mike Lindell for taking a stand, believing in what he believes in, putting a flag in the ground. That's what America is about. You can agree with him or not. That's what America is about. He invented the MyPillow brand pillow. This pillow is remarkable because it does everything I have always wanted a pillow to do. The MyPillow brand pillow is filled with patented material. That patented material will hold its shape, stay cool all night, and it's made in the United States of America. But it's not your pillow until you do one simple thing. When you get it, you throw it in the dryer for 15 minutes, and then it comes to life. Then it becomes fluffy and light, and it's your pillow. You only get it at MyPillow.com, MyPillow.com. You go to the center square, click Radio Offers, and put in my name, Walter. When you put in my name, you will see the price of that pillow drop from $69.99 to $19.99. You're not going to do better. These are offers for Midnight Misfits. Mike Lindell came up with that just for us, just for you and me. Go to MyPillow.com. Click the center square of the homepage that says Radio Offers. And then you will see the price drop in a very sexy way from $69.99 to $19.99. You don't have to go to the checkout counter. You don't have to send in a coupon. It'll drop instantly when you put in the name Walter. Walter. My Pillow. My Pillow brand pillow. MyPillow.com.
For the best night's sleep in the whole wide world, visit MyPillow.com.
Sterling on Sunday, inspired by Ron Papillo.
And the pocket fisherman's handle is its own mini tackle box.
You're a dinosaur, Sipowicz.
I'm a dinosaur.
You jeopardize that collar because it sticks in your throat on first grade.
It sticks in my throat, how you got it?
Every white guy in the department with second grade thinks he should have gotten my grade promotion. Half of you guys think I got it on my back.
Hey, Walter, let me tell you a great story I'm working on. So in the NYPD's auto crime division, you're going to get a lot of repeat customers. And when I mean repeat customers, I mean you're going to be locking up the same car thieves over and over again. One interesting character that I spent my career locking up was this 300-pound car thief we used to call Tiny. Tiny had Elvis wraparound glasses, and he lived in the Kingsbridge section of the Bronx. So one day, my partner and I are driving down Kingsbridge Road. We see this car with double parked. I run the plate. Car comes back stolen. I make a U-turn to come back up Kingsbridge Road. Tiny's going 100 miles an hour in reverse. He crashes the car. He runs into a building. We find him hidden in a trash compactor. We throw the cuffs on him. Please, please, please don't arrest me. I can give you good information. So we strike a deal with him. He tells us that these guys that come up from Virginia with guns, and he trades with them. So a couple of days later, we never hear from Tiny. Tiny's in the wind. We decide to drive by Tiny's house about a month later. Tiny's sitting in the back seat with three guys with Virginia plates. We run the plate. The car comes back stolen. We lock up Tiny and the three guys, and there's guns in the car. Please, please, please don't arrest me. Don't throw me in jail. I said, Tiny, I don't want to have anything to do with you. So the district attorney strikes a deal with Tiny. He gets out. 6 months later, I'm working a checkpoint. Cop comes up to me with a driver's license. He says, can you run this for me? It's Tiny's face on a bogus driver's license. And he's sitting in a stolen Lexus. Oh, no, no, no. Officer Ferrari, don't lock me up again. I said, yep, and I don't want to hear your story. I throw Tiny in jail again. This is the third time. So I don't hear from Tiny for about 4 or 5 years. It's towards the end of my NYPD career. And I get called to the 2A precinct in Harlem, and a guy gets, a rookie cop had locked this guy up for a stolen Jeep. Well, it's Tiny. And Tiny's telling me, please don't lock me up again. And I said, Tiny, I don't know what to tell you. You chose your path. I chose mine. So by the time I retired, Tiny was still rocking and rolling up in Harlem. So be sure to check out my new book, Grand Theft Auto, the NYPD's Auto Crime Division.
And you want to check out his book, Vic Ferrari, at Amazon. He has his own little store on Amazon where you can see all the covers to all of his books. And they're beautiful covers. The artwork on Vic Ferrari's covers is incredible. You'll want to own these books. And he's a good friend. He produces this every week on his own time. He doesn't get paid for it. I don't get a kick for the book. I just respect him as a New York City police detective. I respect the ambition it takes to write a book. I can't do it. And on Amazon, Vic Ferrari, F-E-R-R-A-R-I, you'll find his books. It's a wonderful array of great detective stories. And they're real. It's not like these BS podcasts, you know, True Detectives or The Green Killer Monster. Those are baloney. This is the real deal. This is the real deal. I want to talk about Ghislaine Maxwell. Now, no one is pronouncing her first name correctly. I am not pronouncing it correctly. This is how I feel about this case. I feel that she's innocent. And the reason I feel that she's innocent is they keep using words that don't seem to apply. But let me couch this with the fact that the crimes described are horrendous. Horrendous. I don't see how she's trafficked these girls. That implies cash for girl. Did we hear about any cash for girl? No, she just seemed to move them from one luxury island and run luxury mansion to another and another and another, but they always seemed happy. And they weren't in chains. It seems they could get off the bus at any time, and some of them did. Some of them did not want to continue with this. They were given education, money for tuition, incredible clothes, etc. And most of them came from trailer parks. Sad stories with drunken fathers, drunken mothers, heroin-addicted parents, parents who disappeared. Sad story. Whatever happened to them seemed to them, although not to the rest of us, seemed to them better than anything they had at home, whatever their, quote, home was. They could leave, is my point. They may have been psychological prisoners, but they could have left. Then, here's the weird catch. Toward the end of her relationship with Jeffrey Epstein, Ghislaine got married. What do you mean she got married? She was married? How could she be married and mostly living with this creepy, rich guy? I don't know. But this guy who she married was rich, and he had kids from a previous marriage. So there was a lot of money and, in my opinion, a lack of morality floating around. But I don't know what she's guilty of. If her defense attorney did not say to her, "Did you ask the girls how old they were?" then he didn't do his job. Because there's no evidence she knew, in fact, how old the girls were. She may have guessed pretty good, but if she didn't ask, or ask to see a driver's license, or hold the driver's licenses hostages, technically, there was no crime. That is, if her defense attorney did his or her job. I'm not arguing this was creepy land. I mean, how did this guy, Jeffrey Epstein, own the largest single-family residence in Manhattan? That's some real estate. And by the way, I don't think that's true. That's what they all said. I thought I knew where the single largest family residence was. I thought it was either Gracie Mansion, the mayor's mansion, or on Gramercy Park at 20th and Irving Place. There's like a quarter block long building that's owned by what a PR guy. It didn't all jive. And I feel pretty sure she's going to get out on appeal. I don't think she should get out on appeal. I don't think she should walk the earth. But this case was a mess. And now I'll throw out one other thing. The photo of that Virginia Giuffre and Prince Edward, the photo of them where the flash is in the window and we see her little hand around, his little hand around her waist, there's something wrong with the picture. I've taken thousands of photographs, and I'm looking at it, and there's something wrong. I don't know what it is. The aspect ratio is wrong. The shades are wrong. The light, I haven't studied it. I'm not going to make it into a hobby. But I keep looking at that picture. I'm like, there's something wrong with the picture. It might just be what it is, that there's something wrong with that. But I think there's something wrong with that photo, because that poor prince 1,000 times has said, that wasn't me. That didn't happen. And I'm inclined to believe that that didn't happen. But I don't know what did happen. That's a creepy situation. God. It's just, but at no time in the trial did anybody say to these girls, to these women, where were your parents? Because until you're 18, the person who is responsible for your well-being is your parents. When friends come over to my kid's house, to our house, with my 9-year-old and 15-year-old and 18-year-old, when their minor children, friends, come over, kids under 18, come over to our house, the first question I ask those kids is, do your parents know where you are? When do your parents expect you home? How are you getting home? Those are the first questions I ask. And if my kid says, oh, can Susie do a sleepover with me tonight? Yes. If I talk to Susie's mother and we agree she can have that sleepover, and I know when she has to leave in the morning. And I don't do that because I'm a wonderful person. I do that because as a fiduciary of that child, I am responsible for that child's well-being. And that parent needs to know where the kid is and needs to know if the kid's okay. That's how it works in parent land. Apparently, it didn't work in parent land in New Mexico and Florida and South Florida. Apparently, it's different. But at no time in this trial with Ghislaine Maxwell, was there any talk about where were the parents? What were the parents doing? Oh, I know what their parents were doing. They weren't doing their job. I'm Walter M. Sterling. My email is waltermsterling@gmail.com. WalterMSterling@gmail.com. Every email I get gets answered. What a blessing that is. We have a spectacular website, Walter Sterling Show. And on that website, you can find out information about the Northern Ad Agency, which is the first ad agency to discover the power of Sterling on Sunday. And oh my God, are they happy. If you're running a business and you want to move product, put it on this show. Get in touch with the Northern Ad Agency, and they will do everything they have to do to get you on this show. Isn't that a comfort, huh? But all the information about how to get in touch with the owner of the ad agency, Mike Doucette, is on my website, Walter Sterling Show. You can also download your Midnight Misfit membership card and learn everything you want to know about the show. The greatest gift you and I can be given is a request for help.
And my classroom should be as well air conditioned as your favorite bar.
Next Sunday. All right. Right. Stay bright.